And a good Sunday morning. We're already in February, February 2nd, for Ask the Mayor with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. And good morning. I'm Steve Day. And the mayor's looking good coming back from Washington, D.C. And he is one of the Washington elite. At least you're looking like one. You are.
I've got that haircut, Steve.
You do. You know, it's clean cut, but it's got that loose kind of look. You look like one of the House of Representatives or possibly a senator.
I made that off-the-cuff remark in my column this week. I hope that haircut, that Washington haircut, will make me think smart, like those politicians in Washington think smart. Or maybe it'll make me not think so smart. But, you know, time will tell. Washington is a big, big city.
And I was born there, so I was hip deep in all that politics, so it's good to be back here.
I tried to do a run from my hotel by the White House. And then I wanted to head to the Washington Mall and run around it and come back before I got on the plane to come back to Highlands. I got up at like 6:30 in the morning and started running. I did not realize how much traffic would be on the roads with everybody getting to the government buildings. Did when I got to the White House, this is a little story. I'd been walking by the White House the day before, so I was following that same path off of 17th Street. Ran right by the guard entry. There was the police there. I turned and followed the path, only to be stopped by a group of Secret Service people about 100-and-something yards further down the road. And they said, "Sir, why are you here?" I said, "Well, I'm just running." They said, "This is a restricted area. Where did you come from?" And I looked back and I said, "Well, I just ran right back down there and I just went right past the White House and just came right up here." And they said, "Oh, no, we are closing this down. You have violated a restricted area." And then they escorted me to the sidewalk and I had to run around. Kind of funny. I could see the headlines now. The mayor of Highlands arrested in Washington for violating a secure space.
And you were concerned whether the flights would get you back so you could get to your Southwestern Commission meeting, and you got back there.
We are involved in working with DOT in setting up priorities for the Division 14, highways, streets, sidewalks. The newspaper did have that article that the DOT now is soliciting citizen input about what they think are the concerns for the coming years about paving roads and so forth. So I encourage people, if you have a particular road in this area that you'd like to see paved or a new road or a sidewalk, whatever, please look at that article. And then there is a email contact. Won't you read it out to where you can send your comments?
I've got it. Steve Williams of the Division 14 office at sjwilliams@ncdot.gov. That'll be the way to get a hold of him.
The DOT folks will be collecting all of that input and responses. Right. And then in the coming months, a priority list will be developed. And then from that list, they start funding projects. I would say one thing in Highlands that is already under study, and that is the intersection on South Satula and NC 28, that confusing intersection. I've talked about how we can improve that in the past. DOT sent out an engineer just recently to start collecting some information about that situation. Hopefully that can be addressed between the DOT and the town. I will say one thing about that priority list. Do not expect any change next year or even the following year. It is a system of priorities and things move slow. A project might get on the list and it could take as long as 5 to 10 years to have it funded.
You were telling me about, we were on the top of the priority list on 106, and then nobody liked it, so that's it. It was going to happen in 10 years.
That's right. If you recall, about a year ago, we had improvements on NC 106 from the state line at Dillard all the way to Main Street in Highlands. Some of the things were to have passing lanes, widen the road by about 12 inches on each lane, which I will say is needed in that we use that as a truck route, and those trucks are just jammed on the lane. But the public, when the design came out, and I do believe DOT kind of got very enthusiastic and carried away with the design, but when the design came out and there was public input and comment, a lot of people were against that project. They removed it from the list. If it had been funded in the following year, it would have been around 2030 before that project was actually, you know, constructed. So it's off the list. That means that if anyone wanted to see any more improvements on 106, it has to go back on the list. And if it goes back on the list, then it has to work its way up in priority. So it's not a quick process. The prioritization guidelines that were set up actually was a reaction in the state to political influence on road projects. So they created this rather complicated and formal process of prioritization. It's an interesting meeting that we have with our advisory board, because we might put forth our priorities, the public can put forth their priorities, and then the DOT folks at the division level can put forth their priorities, but then you have DOT and Raleigh, and they might not have the same priorities, so sometimes things get really scrambled in the process.
And before we get to some comments about the electric lines being worked on 64, I'll just make a comment. I saw the Weehang Christmas lights. They're taking down the Christmas lights in the park, so that's some good news. I know many people were wondering about that. How about all the work being done, all the cranes in, all the work on the electric lines and the fiber? You got some private optics companies working?
Northland, you have Frontier. Some of that work that they're doing is maintenance work or upgrades to their system. And then we have our contractor who's building the fiber optic network in town, which will go to every household and every business. That's over 3,000 potential customers will have access to that fiber optic network. They're under construction, so you'll see them out in neighborhoods and in areas like on Bear Pen. They're going through as fast as they can, installing all the equipment and everything necessary for this on fiber optic network. The electrical crews who are putting in the main new line on 64, they will be finishing their work soon. And actually, I'm glad they're doing it now. This isn't the off-season for us. If we have an off-season anymore, it seems like we have people here all the time. But really, this is probably the best time of the year for that kind of work to be done. And that's the way we planned it. And hopefully in the coming weeks, the electric lines will be up and running, and we'll be back to a more normal routine.
Yeah, before I ask you another question about the meeting about the hospital, the Plateau real estate market trending upward for 2020. It looks like the economy's looking good. Everybody's living here year-round. It's not just the holiday season kind of a place to come to.
You know, I've been here 20 years. You know, there are pressures when you have a hot economy and real estate market now, issues of, you know, access to housing and so forth. The flip side of that is like in 2009, when we had a recession and we saw values in real estate crash and companies really under stress. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. We've got challenges ahead of us with this robust economy, but I'd rather have that than the opposite and being in a recession.
Yeah, hear, hear. And you went to the healthcare monitor meeting. We had that on the 29th. Well, there'll be one in February in Franklin. Was it attended? And what'd you say? And what'd you ask?
I think we had about 50 people in attendance. Kind of surprised. I thought we'd have more. But this was just the first meeting of hopefully a series of meetings that the new Gibbons advisors, who are the monitors for the sale of Mission to HCA. I hope they will, of course, be coming back on numerous occasions to kind of, if you will, have boots on the ground and get a feeling about what's going on with the healthcare situation in the Plateau area, instead of just sitting in an office crunching data at a computer. So I really thank them for coming at the meeting and look forward to working with them. You know, this all came about when we had that sales agreement from Mission to HCA, where HCA bought that whole system, the Asheville hospitals, the outlying hospitals like Franklin, Blue Ridge, and then Highlands and Cashiers Hospital. And, you know, there's always been a concern that we would be overlooked or shut down. The original sales agreement just called for a guarantee of 5 years of services. I, along with Barrett Hawks and Mayor Bob Scott in Franklin, we had some involvement in this and talked with the Attorney General. And the Attorney General came forward and said, I will approve this with stipulations. And one of the stipulations was that all these hospitals have to remain open and services have to be in place for the next 10 years. He also made the folks involved in this sale commit to certain things like building a mental health facility in Asheville, 120-bed facility, and guaranteeing that they would be good friends of the community by providing certain support services. And from that, he required a monitoring agent to make sure that his terms and stipulations that everybody signed off on will be followed. And this was the first installment of that whole process. So it was a good meeting. The monitors from Gibbons got up and gave an overview of kind of what their goals were and what they were charged with doing. It's kind of complicated. And after that, they opened the floor open to comment. And I was the first person that had the opportunity to speak. I welcomed them on behalf of the town of Highlands. And then I made some points. And one of the things that I was really concerned about, it's a part of this stipulation and agreement that HCA committed to, and that is providing charity care and then having a sense of community commitment. And I emphasized in my comments that we need to form some partnerships. We have nonprofit groups like the Nonprofit Health Clinic. We have the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation and other groups, and we need to develop a mechanism where they can work together among themselves and with HCA. And I emphasize the ultimate goal would be that it would benefit HCA. And if HCA is thriving here, then the issues about closing down the hospital, I think, diminish. So it's a complicated situation, but I'm optimistic that we can really make some progress in ensuring that we have quality health care here on the plateau. For example, we have the wonderful Jane Woodruff building on the HCA campus. To be quite frank, that's underutilized now. So I said, well, why not, if we could partner with HCA, get a real good rental rate, put some nonprofits out there, maybe put the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation back out there. But I know that Pisgah Legal Services want to come into the Highlands Cashiers area, and one of their expertise is to work with the underserved in the community with social determinants of health at the top of their concern, the Pisgah folks, helping them qualify for financial aid, the Affordable Care Act, and so forth, so they have health care coverage. If we could get them here working with our underserved folks who would be a charity case if they show up at the hospital, but if they have some type of insurance or support, then it benefits HCA because they don't have to write off a bad debt. So those are the kind of dynamics that I think we need to all be working on, and that is working together. So I also pointed out that HCA had committed to $7.5 million in what we call the community benefit programs, that they will give $7.5 million over 10 years. Now, I'm a simpleton in math, but that means $750,000 a year that they need to give back to the community. Well, maybe this could be all tied into what I was just talking about, but I did ask the question, did they make that payment for the first year of operation, which started last year? Do they plan on making the next installment for this coming year?
That would be a good sign.
And where will it go? That's just, you know, some of the things that I think the monitors need to be aware of. And let me also say this. There is a mechanism that the monitors have put in place to get public feedback. They want public feedback to kind of get a feeling about how the services are going, how the programs of the hospital are developing as a part of this whole agreement. The nice thing about it to me is that you can report, and it's an anonymous report. Now, as an elected official, I don't like the, you know, anonymous feedback a lot, but I think in this particular situation, it serves the public and the process well. If an employee of HCA sees a problem and they're afraid that they can't really go directly to the supervisors, they can report it to the monitors. If you're a patient and you've had a problem, you can report it to the monitors. In the spirit of fairness, if something good happens, you can report it to the monitors too. And here's where you can go. It's independentmonitor@gibbonsadvisors.com. I know it's a big email address, but it's independent, and it starts with capital independent, and then all one word, a capital M, monitor, at Gibbons, G-I-B-B-I-N-S, advisors, and that's all one word, .com. They have a website. I'm sure you could just Google in Gibbons monitors, and it'll pop right up. But they were very enthusiastic about the idea of providing that feedback mechanism for the community.
Before you leave, we'll just get a copy of that.
Okay.
We should actually have, I think, probably something on the website that's dedicated to the hospital and all the information that's going on. And obviously this show right here, this program every Sunday with you. All right. Well, Mayor, welcome back from Washington, D.C. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I think we've covered it for this week.
I think we really have.
And
thank
I'm sure
you.
We'll have more information next week.
Appreciate that.